Welcome back to Living Witnesses, where we are reading The Four Teresas by Gina Lair. Going to get right to things today. We are on page 57, Keeping the Faith.
Embracing Catholicism was more than an internal experience for Edith. Her life's goals now took on a different dimension. She had once dreamt of being a philosophy professor, but now she decided to leave behind the pursuit of a scholarly career. She had already encountered many roadblocks because she was a woman, and happily accepted a position as a German teacher at a Dominican school for young women in Speyer. Freed from unquestioning allegiance to the scientific worldview, Edith now began to apply her mind to prayer and a deepening understanding of eternal truth. At Speyer, Edith lived a structured life of activity and contemplation, modeled in large part on the life of the Dominican sisters with whom she lived. Although she hadn't taken any public vows, she kept personal vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. She lived simply, taking little pay for her work other than what she needed for food, lodging, and clothing. She prayed the Liturgy of the Hours regularly and loved to participate in the liturgical life of the church. During this time at Speyer, Edith began to read the writings of St. Thomas Aquinas. She worked on a translation of Aquinas's Questiones Disputatae de Veritate, Disputed Questions on Truth. Clearly, she and St. Thomas shared a common interest. The renowned philosopher and theologian opened Edith's eyes to the harmonious interplay of faith and reason. Having accepted Christianity and incorporated her faith into her philosophical worldview, Edith Stein elaborated upon these themes in several works, including a dialogue she composed between Aquinas and Edmund Husserl, comparing and contrasting their philosophical approaches. With her newfound openness to intertwining faith and reason, Edith moved on to the next phase of her life. After 8 years at Speyer, she accepted a position as a teacher at the German Institute of Scientific Pedagogy in Münster. Her life now became a whirlwind of lectures, both at the Institute and beyond. She frequently traveled and spoke on, among other things, the role of women in culture and in the church, offering a refreshing vision that integrated Catholicism and healthy feminism. Had Edith gone against her spiritual advisor's directive and entered the convent immediately after her conversion, she may not have had the opportunity to present these inspiring and insightful lectures. But Edith wasn't meant to be a laywoman in the world forever. God was calling her to himself through a Carmelite vocation, and the time had come for Edith to respond to that call.
From novice to nun. After a year in her position at Münster, Edith had to leave the institute. Adolf Hitler had come to power in January of 1933. And by April, the Nazis had forbidden Edith to teach because of her Jewish heritage. Her conversion to Christianity could not protect her from the devastating injustices Hitler's Reich was inflicting on the Jewish people. Although this was difficult, Edith rejoiced because she believed God was closing doors for her effectiveness in the outside world so she could enter the seclusion of Carmel without concerns. The only obstacle remaining was the difficulty of informing her mother. The blow was a harsh one for Augusta Stein. She felt that by converting to Christianity, her daughter had already abandoned her family and the Jewish people at the worst possible moment. Wasn't it enough that Edith had chosen baptism into the Catholic Church? Why did she have to go so far as to enter the convent? Edith tried to explain that her entrance into Carmel didn't mean rejecting her family or her heritage, but her mother could not bear it. Edith's decision was so difficult for Augusta that neither she nor any of Edith's siblings attended the momentous celebration when Edith received her Carmelite habit. For months, Augusta refused to reply to any of Edith's weekly letters. The pain Edith caused her family in following God's call was a challenging cross for her to bear. As she entered the Carmelite novitiate under these tumultuous circumstances, Edith knew that trial and suffering were going to be part of her future. Even convent life presented trials. She had to keep to the strict schedule. She had to learn to do household chores and domestic duties that did not come naturally to her. A bit clumsy, she had difficulty managing a broom at first. Dr. Stein the well-known and sought-after lecturer and teacher, also had to humble herself to sit in beginner's classes with other novices only half her age, but she joyfully embraced her new situation.
Edith had come to understand that because of the cross, she could offer up her suffering and pain as prayer. She had an especially strong sense that God was inviting her to offer her sacrifices on behalf of the Jewish people to unite their terrible sufferings to the cross of Jesus. Edith chose the religious name Sister Teresa Benedicta of the Cross because of her devotion to the power of the cross and her love for the Benedictine order. Edith would live as Sister Teresa Benedicta for close to 9 years. Those years were difficult because of the horrors taking place under the Nazi regime. Even the walls of Carmel could not protect her from the tragedies surrounding her. Edith and her sister Rosa, who had converted to Catholicism and become a secular Carmelite after their mother's death, moved to the Carmelite convent in Holland in 1942 to avoid the Nazi threat of Germany. However, when the Dutch bishops issued a public statement against the Nazis, the sisters' safety was threatened. This time, their Catholic identity was part of the risk, as the Nazis were taking retribution on Catholics of Jewish descent. As the SS arrived to take Edith and Rosa to the Amersfoort prison, Edith said to her sister, "Come, let us go for our people." The Nazis deported Edith and Rosa to Auschwitz on August 1, 1942. On August 9th, Edith Stein was martyred in the gas chamber. The soldiers who carried out the orders to eliminate this woman probably thought she was gone forever. Little did they know that her legacy would live on long after her body had breathed its last. Through her writings, which have steadily grown in popularity since her death, Edith continues to teach a wide spectrum of students, including us. Thank you, Gina, for putting Edith Stein in this book. I got to be honest, I've never given her much thought. I just kind of roll over that saint every time she pops up. But boy, what a great story. What a beautiful story. The one thing that really impressed me was her reflection back on following the advice of her spiritual advisor and not entering religious life when she wanted to. Following the advice or direction of someone that is different from what we have in our heart can be very, very difficult. Especially if our emotions are in that decision, that makes it even harder. We have to remember as we approach these doors, if we're not careful, they can actually become doors that allow Satan into our lives. If we get emotional, anger, all of those feelings that we know are not of God, that opens the door for Satan. And then he's going to really stir the pot when he gets in. When we find ourselves in these conflicts, we need to do exactly what all those great warriors at St. Raphael's Parish do. They stop, drop, and pray. If we can get through these situations by drawing on the Holy Spirit, even if things do not play out the way that we planned, we will have peace that it's the way God had it planned. I have found so much peace in my own life by simply accepting whatever happens in life as part of God's plan, especially when it is the opposite of what I had planned. You should see the look on people's faces when something has been derailed because of something they've done or haven't done, and they feel terrible, and they're apologizing, and you say, "Oh, don't worry about it. This is obviously the way God had it planned, and his plans are normally better than mine." And then they get this look of epiphany and just relief on their face. And you know what? That makes me feel good. If we can all just get in the habit of not letting situations upset us, don't let situations interfere with our relationships, with our lives, you'd be surprised what a difference we could make in our homes and our communities and just drawing peace and satisfaction. And others will see our actions and seeds will be planted. You know, in the introductory, you told us about why you wrote this book, Gina, but can you share with us a little bit what you were going through at the time that brought you to put in Edith Stein?
So I had a ton of feminist angst and anger when I was entering into young adulthood, and I was ready to leave the church, and I hated the priesthood. And my little brother, who is now a Dominican priest, gave me a challenge, and one of the many things he asked me to do was to read Edith Stein's Essays on Women. So I agreed to read her. There's a book by ICS Publications called Edith Stein on Woman, I think is the title. Anyways, just it's lectures that she gave during that period before she was a Carmelite. I read these lectures on womanhood, and I was like, everything turned upside down for me. I realized that my false perceptions of what actual femininity was just based on a completely shallow, foundation and that there was such a beautiful vision of femininity in the church. Edith Stein was the one who opened me up to that. Edith Stein, in addition to Grace, in addition to the work of my brother and his prayer for me and other things, brought me back to the church because I realized that there was a beautiful vision for womanhood within it. So she was instrumental in my return to the church. She was instrumental in why I went to Franciscan University to do a master's in philosophy. Originally, I went to study philosophy because Edith Stein studied philosophy. I ended up switching to theology. That was a better fit. That's a whole different story. But I went to grad school because of Edith Stein, because of her image. I was so captivated by her writing. It really spoke to me deeply and turned my life around. So I have a special place in my heart for her.
You know, speaking of feminism, that was the thing that really stuck out at me because I'm doing Feminine Genius with Women on Zoom, and we've been reading different things that relate to feminism. And what we're trying to look at is the truth about, our healthy feminism, as opposed to the cultural take on feminism. And so Edith Stein is just such a healthy person to really listen to and hear her information, because one of the things about women is that we're emotional too, and combining in a healthy way the intellect and the emotion, it's what helps to really make us who we are and to be effective in what we do. And it's that receptivity that I remember talking about in an earlier talk, that we are receptive to things, just like Mary. So we have a lot in common with her, who is our model. So anyway, I love Edith Stein for that reason too.
You know, and to kind of wrap this up, Veronica, you mentioned the power of one book, her reading the autobiography. You know, Gina, you just talked about one person, your brother. I mean, I think as we even go through this simple podcast, this simple book, like even though we're in week three, like we have a powerhouse saint coming up, Teresa of Calcutta. So like invite anybody to come in, maybe give them the PDF. It's free. You're providing that as the author, which is such a huge gift for us to be able to read it and listen to it. So just wanted to thank you for your contribution to this journey for all of us for Advent.
And what a journey it is. Yes. And if your heart is burning inside with the knowledge that you're gleaning and the insight that you're gleaning from this book, tell a friend about it. Maybe you started this project, this journey with another friend, and they've fallen off the wagon. They're not with us anymore. Let them know how powerful this book is and invite others to join us. Fortunately, we're keeping these segments as short as possible. So if somebody wants to catch up, they can easily squeeze in two or three podcasts in a day. And there you go. That's it for today. Look at that, less than 15 minutes for our podcast. We'll be back tomorrow reading the book, The Four Treases by Gina Lair.